Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up this hour, we are stunned to a news. Also, Sean Payton has decided to take out cheesesteaks. This, of course, raised our antenna here on the DA Show, a sports radio show dedicated to sports and food and the intersection of it. As Sean Payton deals with testing positive for coronavirus, is the cheesesteak his comfort food? We'll dissect coming up later on in the hour. But first, without the squeaking sneakers, without the buzzer beaters, without the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, there's a certain hollowness about this month. And that's why every day on the show, we are revisiting the greatest, most iconic, most exciting moment in NCAA tournament history. Let's go back to 2001, when a 15 seed knocked off a 2 seed. It had not happened. It would not happen again for 11 more years. It had not happened in a number of years before that, but a 2 over the 15. As Hampton knocked off Iowa State, and the Cyclones the year before had been in the Elite Eight. We have our listeners right now on 93.1 The Ticket in Boise, and some of you might have been at this game with this round. Iowa State goes down to Hampton. It's time to revisit as part of the Madness of March.
It's to Jenkins, to Drew for the win! Gone! They did it! Drew did it! Falpo has won the game! A miracle! An absolute miracle! Bryce Drew has done it for Valparaiso!
A quick pass to half court and call a quick timeout so they can get in better shooting range.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
Shot clock turned off. Calgary. Hall. 8 to shoot. Hall. The runner! Loose ball! It's good! Shannon, don't want to foul. Shannon from the corner, and it's over. Gonzaga, the slipper still fits. They win it, 73-72. Holy cow!
Buzzer beaters, bracket busters, iconic moments, the greatest stories of the NCAA tournament. It's the Madness of March.
Inside the big fella. Time running down. Tinsley off the iron. It's over. Oh my God. It's over. Unbelievable. The 15th seed upsets the number 2.
Tarvis Williams, a four-footer in the lane with under 7 seconds to play. Give the 15 seed Hampton the stunning win over the 2 seed Iowa State. in 2001. You remember this game well because of the image after the game. Head coach of Hampton, Steve Merfeld, picked up by his player and carried from the back behind, and he is going crazy, arms extended in the air, legs kicking in the air. Coach Merfeld joins us here on the show. He's now an associate head coach with the Creighton Blue Jays. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. Gosh, that was really neat listening to all those replays. It certainly brings back some great memories.
It does. It's such a void right now not having the tournament. You guys, the Creighton Blue Jays, were going to be in the tournament as well. You had a very solid season also. How is it to have your season end with such an incomplete and now kind of be trying to figure out what to do over the course of this month?
Well, yeah, it's extremely difficult, and you really feel for the athletes. Obviously, several of them getting the first opportunity to play in an NCAA tournament. But that's secondary to what we're facing right now with this crisis. And obviously, there are more important things than sports going on, and we've got to deal with this. And our guys have been mature about it. They understand. But it certainly is heart-wrenching, you know, to not be in the tournament and to not have some of those March Madness moments that every March brings forth in the NCAA tournament. It's difficult. There's no other way to describe it.
It was the right move, obviously, by the NCAA. We see the severity of this pandemic, but at the time, I'm sure it was crushing. How did you, as a coaching staff, approach your players about the end of the season and, for some of them, the end of their careers?
Well, for us, it was really interesting because we were playing. We were the last game being played in Madison Square Garden in front of, I don't know, let's say 200, 300 people, which was a leery feeling to begin with. And then to have your game called at the half was very, very strange. But at the same time, I think it really enlightened everyone to how serious this pandemic is in the crisis that we're facing. Sure, it's difficult, and you're dealing with teenage kids and different levels of maturity that aren't necessarily, you know, they're invincible at that age. There's nothing that can stop them. And there's a wide range of emotion that goes on when you find out that you know, your Big East tournament is canceled. And then, you know, later on in the day, we've canceled the NCAA tournament as well. And we had a great year. I mean, it was a group of guys that, you know, were picked seventh in the Big East and rose to the occasion and won the regular season title, tied with Villanova and Seton Hall, two premier programs. So great for us, but at the same time, very, very disappointing that we're still not playing and should still be playing, should be getting ready to play in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, Steve Merfeld joins us here on the show. He's associate coach with the Creighton Blue Jays, but he was the head coach of Hampton in 2001 when they shocked the world and took out the 15-seeded Iowa State Cyclones. Let's start before that matchup. The 2-15 rarely, obviously, gives us an upset, but that year it did. It had happened a couple of other times before, but you guys weren't a normal 15 seed. You had a couple of transfers who already had NCAA experience, including LaShawn Howard, who had some high major experience with Syracuse. What did you guys feel about your chances going into that matchup against Iowa State?
Well, you said it. It's all about matchups at that time of the year. And you know, watching Iowa State in their previous games, I think they got beat in the quarterfinals of their tournament. We felt very confident. We looked at it and said, this is a team that, although they're a two seed and have had a great year, they were not playing their best basketball at that time of the season, and we were. We were coming off, you know, winning the MEAC title and had experience, as you mentioned, with LaShawn Howard and Marseille Brown. Both had played in the NCAA tournament. So we felt really good as we watched. I think it was Baylor that had beat them in their conference tournament. And you know, you never feel like you're going to necessarily win as a 15 seed. But we felt like, you know, if things went our way, we could be very, very competitive, and that's what ended up happening.
One of the coolest parts about the tournament is that when an upset is brewing, when a double-digit seed is winning, the crowd becomes in favor of that team. So the Goliath, the high major, the high seed, the power team, the favorite sometimes becomes the villain, and they don't have the support. They feel like the ugly duckling there. That's what happened in this game. We are on in Boise. I'm sure there's a lot of people that remember this game well and this bracket. What did you feel as you're walking through that game, that arena, and you're realizing, oh, as this goes on and you guys are making a bit of a comeback here because you were down 11, you're starting to get the crowd on your side. It must have been a pretty interesting feeling to feel that happening around you.
Well, the really interesting thing is we were the last game of the day on the West Coast. So anybody that's a college basketball fan has tuned into it on CBS. But the other part of it is the other three games that day, fourth game, including us, were decided by a total of 5 points. So there was some great basketball being played that day. And I remember, I can't remember who George Mason beat, but I remember Coach Larinaga, who I worked with for 10 years, came up to me before the game and said, hey, you know you can win this. And I looked at him like, yeah, I guess we're playing a game, so we have an opportunity to. But that was real uplifting and encouraging as well. But as you mentioned, the crowd loves an underdog, and Boise fell in love with the Hampton Pirates, and you know, it was deafening in there as it got closer and closer to the end of that game.
You trailed by 11 in the second half, and then you start going on a run. When you're down 11, second half against the 2 seed, and you're the 15, what are you telling the guys? Can you have them just play basketball as normal, or do you need a little bit of magic?
Well, it was a confident group, but they had never really been in that position before. But, you know, as they came to the timeout around the 10 or 11 mark, they still believed, and we ended up going to a triangle and two at that time on Tinsley, and I believe the young man's name was Horton, and it kind of stifled them. They you know, missed some shots, and we were able to get rebounds and got some run outs and I think a couple big transition dunks, and certainly then the crowd really gets behind you, and you could just feel the momentum gathering and our guys gaining more and more confident. And then we get a stop. We get the ball underneath our basket, take a timeout, and call a play. Actually, coming down the floor, we had a play that we hadn't used all year, and they ended up deflecting it out of bounds. And at that time, we did not have any timeouts left. So we ended up going just to a basic out-of-bounds play that we've had success with all year, and the amazing thing is two guys turned down opportunities for shots to get it to our best player, Tarvis Williams, who made that little floater in the lane. And then they came down, and Tinsley went through us. And as you watch, you can see I'm trying to get our guys to foul. We had fouls to give. But thankfully, they didn't listen at that time of the year. And Tinsley went right through us, got to the rim and missed. And the only thing I can remember is the horn was malfunctioned. So they were using one of those air horns, and I can still remember it going off. And then the jubilation began.
Steve Merfell joins us here on the show. He was the head coach at Hampton of the Pirates in 2001 when the 15 seed knocked off the 2 seed Iowa State Cyclones. And so Tinsley goes down the floor. He misses the layup. Buzzer sounds, and you guys are champs. And then one of the most iconic images in NCAA tournament history is you being picked up from behind by one of your players, and he has got you around the waist, and you have your legs up from the floor, and they're kicking, and your arms in the air, and you're pumping your fists. And everybody will remember that image, and it is played every year as part of all of these montages. What is it like to be part of the iconic images in NCAA history?
Yeah, it's, you know, in a lot of ways, it seems like it was yesterday. But in a lot of ways, I mean, it's almost 20 years removed now. But yeah, I guess it's what I'm known for. You know, it's very cool. My children were not, one of them was born at the time, was very young, doesn't remember it, and the other was not. And they can't believe that their father would act so inappropriate after winning a basketball game. But it was one of those experiences. I don't remember any of it. The only thing I remember is David Johnson was the young man that was holding me, and I can remember him saying, "I've got you, coach. I've got you, coach. I've got you, coach." And that's about it. I don't remember. The only thing after that I remember is, oh my gosh, I forgot that I'm supposed to shake hands with Larry Eustace. And, you know, looked around for him, and they had left the court. But he was very, very gracious. He sought me out after the game and was very gracious in defeat. I'm sure it was difficult for him, but, you know, just was very, very impressed by the fact that he did find me and congratulated me.
What are those 48 hours like after you pull off that shocking upset, after your image and your video is plastered all across the tournament and you become one of the faces of the Cinderellas? What's the next 48 hours like before you guys face Georgetown in the round of 32?
Well, it was, you know, as you mentioned, the media was all over it, and we had to control it. Our sports information director at the time just did a great job of handling that, and we were business as usual. You know, this was a team that believed that they were going to beat Georgetown in the second round of the tournament and advance to the Sweet 16, and it was a very, very similar game in that Georgetown had control of it, and we made a comeback similar to Iowa State, and I think ended up getting losing by double digits, but same sort of feeling, and Georgetown ended up making shots and advancing on to the Sweet 16.
Steve Merfeld was at the helm of one of the great upsets in NCAA tournament history, one of the great moments in NCAA tournament history, and Iowa State fell as the 2 seed, and forever there's that 2:15 that when it starts happening in the second half, everybody thinks back and they play clips of your game. So what a cool thing to be part of. Coach, I really appreciate you going down memory lane with us today. Best of luck next season with your Creighton Blue Jays as well, and hopefully we can catch up again sometime.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me, and keep reliving these experiences. This is something that we all can grasp onto during this difficult time, and certainly appreciate you guys making the effort to do it. Thank you.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks so much, Coach. Those are very kind words. Appreciate that very much. It is a time of the year where you just have that as the backtrack, as the background of your day. NCAA tournament games are happening, buzzer beaters, Cinderellas, those images of Coach Merfeld being picked up by one of his players. You just have that in the background. And for us not to have that right now is disorienting. There is a real void. As I talked about this in the Trash Tuesday segment in hour number one, I feel really kind of lost without the tournament right now. And I think many of you do as well. Even if you haven't watched college basketball all season long, there's just a void because you just know what to expect. Office pools, leaving work early, having it on TV, checking out the highlights, filling out a bracket. You just know. You just know what that's like. So not to have that is a real bummer. So I wanted to make sure every day on this show throughout the month of March, we could relive some of these stories. And they've been really, really cool, really great. And we'll continue with this next hour on the show. Speaking of 2:15s, Richmond was the first team to pull off the trick. The Richmond Spiders in 1991 knocked off the 2-seeded Syracuse Orangemen at that time. We'll talk to Kenny Wood from the Spiders in 91 coming up on the show 1 hour from now to relive another 2:15 matchup that went the upset way. That was the first time that had ever happened. When we come back, we are stunned. 2A News, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
Mraz is kind of sheepishly looking around after licking the bottom of a peanut butter bag.
Peanut butter in there was supposed to be used for an apple, so spread an apple, and then I had a nut bag left I was licking.
bookmark that. Mraz licking the perfect nut bag there.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We know you want to see college basketball this time of year, so tune into CBS and CBS Sports Network all week long for NCAA Tournament Rewind. Relive some of the best moments from March Madness. Also, the DA Show is available anytime you want it. You need some content, we got your content right here. 4 hours of it every single day, live or in podcast form. Check us out. Use the radio.com app to get the full podcast. Also, you could use Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or you can go to our website, cbssportsradio.com. Coming up, Andrew Bogish will deliver Stunned Tua News for us. But first, some trashes, so let's get Voice Guy's voice ready to go. You got that, Voice Guy? Angie Corrado tweets, I'm trashing my car dealership. After my wife took the car in for an oil change, car was parked for days in the garage. Finally move it to find a pool of oil. Now yet another trip to the shop is required. Hashtag, where does the oil go? Okay, trash them.
Stinky debris.
Where does the oil go? James tweets, my local affiliate is off the air, so I'm listening to you guys. Appreciate the listen. It's been great. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to change the radio because Mraz is a whiny little bee. Way too annoying. Trash him. Okay, beep, trash beep. Mraz.
Sanitation just arrived.
Whiny little bee. Tough. Dixie Landan tweets, I'm trashing people who try to finish your sentences while you're having a conversation with them. If you'll shut your big fat mouth, I'll finish what I was saying. I don't need your 46 IQ self-taking pop shots on what I'm going to say. One of the most annoying things ever. Okay, trash them.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Jeremy tweets, DA, I'm trashing this real-life episode of The Twilight Zone. All right, trash them.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
It does feel like that, doesn't it? Like this is a sci-fi movie that I never wanted to be in. Andrew Bogish is standing by. He has our headlines this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, DA. So the USOC officially joined the chorus last night, saying that the Tokyo Summer Games cannot happen as scheduled in late July and early August. Our organizing body polled athletes, and 92% of them said their training has been impacted by coronavirus. And that is the issue, not what conditions will be like in July in Tokyo. Right now, athletes around the globe cannot train safely or properly. Just moments ago, Japan's prime minister and Tokyo's mayor put their names on a suggested postponement until 2021. On Sunday, the IOC, whose decision this ultimately is, gave itself 4 weeks to make that final call on the games. IOC member Dick Pound tells USA Today the games will be postponed, but didn't say till when.
If your name is Dick Pound, do you have to go Rich or Richard or Richie there?
No. No, you can't.
Okay, you prefer Dick there.
You can't deprive us of Dick Pound, yeah.
No, but if you are Dick Pound, do you think you would stick with the Dick there? Or do you think you would go, I think I would go Rich.
From his perspective, I would probably want to avoid this. But again, some people are more mature than us or look
most,
at things differently
most
than us.
Most are, yeah.
So maybe he didn't necessarily see the issue with that name. And by the time, because I believe he was an Olympic athlete himself in like fencing or something like that, a kind of non-mainstream
I just think
sport.
If you're named Richard, Rich, or Richie, you just never opt for the Dick. That's just my feeling on things. I just think in today's day and age, you want to eliminate as many options of people to make fun of you, poke fun at you, use your name as a derogatory term. To me, there's just never a good reason to go Dick instead of Rich, Richie, Richard. That's just my thought on this.
I'm just wondering if he grew up in a place where people didn't connect those dots, and then he had some fame by being an athlete, and he was just already locked into being Dick Pound, and not he can't all of a sudden go, I'm going to be Richard, and then to go, well, what happened to Dick Pound?
Well,
are you the same
I don't
guy?
Know.
So like, maybe
I
he
think,
just was in on that.
I think you can, Bogues. You know, I think
I think if you're Dick Pound, I think you can go Rich Pound. I think you can go Richie. I think, you know, you just tell people, hey, I'm going by Richard right now. And nobody's going to go, oh, why? No, I think people know. I think people are well aware why you're doing it.
Or maybe he chose to own it, right? Because if he was Rich or Richard, people would still make the joke. And he'd be like, ha, ha, ha. Now he's just like, yeah, this is me, Dick Pound. Deal with it.
Well, apparently there's a real dealing with it right now that's happening from Dick. I would agree with that. But at this point in time, I don't know, a Richard J. Pound just feels a little bit more professional than a Dick right now. But okay, all right, moving on.
Okay, now see, that's a different argument because he is a high-ranking IOC member. So yes, like Esquire should be at the end of his name. It's not fancy in that regard.
Yeah.
But when he was just a regular guy, and then he was Dick Pound, even, and then he gained some fame. He's even locked in. He can't change it then.
Even a Dickie Pound. I'll take that. I just think at this point, you're begging for the wrong type of attention. And I'm giving it to him right now, unfortunately. So let's move on.
Yeah. Okay, we move on to UEFA. They have put the Champions League final on hold indefinitely. It was scheduled for May 30th in Istanbul. There are 12 teams left, four already in the quarterfinals, and then eight that need to play the second leg of their round of 16 matches. And now we're back here in the States, where Cowboys center Travis Frederick, with a surprise retirement announcement yesterday, the 29-year-old overcame an autoimmune disorder to start 16 games last season, but now says he just can't play at the level he wants to. Dallas had already re-signed Frederick's backup, that's Joe Looney. We thought maybe Ron Rivera would want to reunite with Cam Newton in Washington, so ears perked when Washington traded for a Panthers QB yesterday, but it was Kyle Allen. He goes north for a fifth-round pick. The Panthers could trade Allen because they signed QB PJ Walker from the XFL's Houston Roughnecks.
Dynamite!
Walker played for New Carolina head coach Matt Rhule at Temple. The Patriots released Steven Gostkowski after 14 seasons yesterday. It was a seamless transition from Adam Vinatieri to Gostkowski, who leaves as the franchise's all-time leading scorer, 1,775 points. The move gives New England $3.5 million in cap space. The Rams are re-signing veteran corner Jimmy Smith, and linebacker Jordan Jenkins re-signs with the Jets. He was hoping for a big money deal in the open market, but settles for a one-year contract worth $5 million. We will hear from Tom Brady and his new head coach, Bruce Arians, via conference call at noon Eastern today. How about that? For now, though, we have Bucks receiver Mike Evans celebrating with a stranger while playing video games.
Bro, I've been on that Hennessy, man.
Oh, you're drinking.
Oh, I'm drinking. I got Tom Brady, you know what I'm saying?
Thank God for Twitch, that people play video games on video, recording themselves. And thank God that Mike Evans is playing God knows what with a dude that looks like me.
Nice.
After some Hennessy, waxing poetic about Tom Brady.
Look, if you are one of many tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of Americans that are right now homebound, can't leave, don't know what to do with themselves most hours of the day, drinking and playing video games is a pretty good solution right now. That's a pretty good out. You know, I don't know if that's going to work for 3 months, but now you know how stoners do it. Now you know how dropouts in college do it. Now you know what it's like to be 19 years old. You just drink or do drugs and play video games all day long. I mean, it sounds actually pretty enticing, and now you're kind of being encouraged by the government to do that.
What do you think the line of defense is after this from Mike Evans in terms of, does some PR guy from the Bucks call his agent and say, hey, maybe Mike shouldn't have Hennessy and Twitch going at the same time? Maybe he shouldn't play video games. Does the agent make the call by himself? Does this just get left alone? How do you think the people that are involved with Mike Evans actually handled this?
I actually think Hennessy has probably reached out to Mike and sent him a case of Hennessy. And I think that his agent probably goes, hey, when you're on Twitch, just know that you're being recorded. But luckily, this is all that you said you were on right now as you played Call of Duty.
Right. So continuing to share some good news in all of this, the Pittsburgh Pirates recently sent 400 pizzas to the Allegheny Medical Center. But then there's the bad. The Sixers and the Devils, who are owned by the same group, will begin cutting office employee salaries by up to 20%. and shifting to a four-day work week starting next month. Now, this, again, is all office employees. They may extend these salary cuts to the normal kind of front office basketball folks as well. And as we mentioned earlier in the week, the NBA, as of April 15th, is leaving open the option to take back a small percentage of player salaries. There is an option in the CBA. It has a very fancy, I believe it's a French name, so I'm not going to say it. It's a CBA. It's a legal term, but under catastrophic circumstances, owners are able to take back, again, a very small portion. It's like 1/92nd of a game check from players, and that may begin to happen sometime in May. Finally, gang, let's do some stunning.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Okay.
DA, we have all been there before. You get super drunk, maybe on Hennessy playing video games, but you get super drunk, you do something dumb, and then you don't remember doing that dumb thing.
Sure.
So please meet Sage Aaron Cummins, 24 years old, from Gallup, New Mexico. His recent bender included stealing two TVs from an apartment. But here's where this gets truly stunning. Cummins woke up the morning after, saw the TVs in his place, and realized he did something bad. But all he could remember, though, was knocking on an apartment door and then going in when he realized no one was inside, but doesn't remember taking the TVs, bringing them back to his place. But again, those aren't his TVs. They're somebody else's. He now knows he's in somewhat of a pickle. Apparently, he didn't get to that apartment by accident because he and the victim have a mutual friend who then connected the dots after talking to Cummins, told him what he had done. So Cummins, being a good guy, goes, you know what? I'm a jerk. I took these TVs. Let me bring them back to this apartment. The problem is, the moment he shows up cradling two TVs, are the moment the police are there taking the burglary report from this woman. So Cummins, on the spot, gets arrested, eventually released on $1,500 bond. So he's a thief through alcohol, then has a kind heart, brings the TVs back, walks right basically into the cop car to get arrested.
Timing, they say, is everything in life. It sounds like this dude just learned that the hard way. Dude, you took Jimmy's TVs last night? You got so drunk you took Jimmy's TVs? You got to go give Jimmy his TVs back. Go get Jimmy his TVs back. All right. I'll go to Jimmy's house. Whoop. Oh, no. I got arrested bringing back the TVs that I stole to Jimmy's house.
Now, what I want to know is this mutual friend that realized what Sage Aaron Cummins had done and where he took the TVs from. Why didn't he call this woman and go, hey, I know where your TVs are. They'll be back by noon. Like, sit tight. As opposed to letting her call the police and have this guy basically walk into a trap.
Well, look, maybe that was trying to teach him a lesson. I mean, maybe you don't want to be friends with a guy that gets so drunk he steals your stuff. Could you also imagine being so drunk and your first inclination is, I'm going to take all these TVs in here?
Yeah.
That's not usually an easy grab. It's not like bringing stealing a bottle of Hennessy or stealing a watch. It is, let me pick up this giant TV off of the desk or off of the table or off of the nightstand. I'm going to put this in my car. Now I'm going to go back in, take the other one, put this in my car. You don't usually walk down the street with two TVs, one in each arm. So you got to put some muscle into this and some planning. This guy was so drunk. How the hell did he get two TVs back to his place?
Yeah, and maybe don't be greedy. Maybe take a TV.
Just take a TV.
You need two. I mean, unless your thought is I'm going to sell these bad boys, so the more the merrier, but take a TV and go back to your place and watch it and move on.
And the guy that's drinking enough to make you want to steal something and make you forget, that's got to be a tequila night. That's not going to happen in a bunch of Bud Lights. That is definitely a hard alcohol night. Maybe there's some scissorp involved. There's something serious when you've got the hankering to steal TVs by getting drunk. That's not a normal drunk. That's not a bunch of like Mai Tais. You don't do that after a few pina coladas. That's a hard True. Night of drinking hard alcohol.
We should ask Jock Lone how many Bud Lights it would take to have him steal something in the middle of a blackout.
And especially in this case, steal two things larger than him. Big screen
true.
TVs.
Oh, that's true. How many Jock Lones did those TVs weigh, and could an actual Jock Lone get them home? That's a math problem.
He'd have to use them as like his toboggan.
Just all right. Make a harness where they go over his shoulders, front and back, and walk home like that.
Like they're sandwich boards during the Great Depression on Billy Jock Lone. Right. Thank you, Andrew. When we come back, this date in mothership history. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You're about to be zapped.
Oh, DA, I got some exciting news for you. My whole family is listening right now because they know how big of a fan I am of you and Mraz and the show. We're having a baby, DA! Team us up!
All right! Wow, that is a first. We have never had a baby announcement made over the show.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, if we are the place you get your inspiration to have babies or name babies, we take that very seriously. Thank you. A lot of gratitude from this spot here on the DA show. Thanks for being with us. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Geico.com. That's easy. And the DA show has a video feed that you can always watch at watchda.com. Also inside the radio.com app. So a good time to mention the radio.com app. It's free on your phone, on your tablet, on any device. Listen to us live inside the radio.com app. Also, listen to us in podcast form or watch us normally at watchda.com. It is time for this date in mothership history.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
Go. Linda in Beaumont called in on this date, March the 24th, and proclaimed her love for Mraz. Linda's in Beaumont, Texas, listening on 1340. Hello, Linda.
DA.
How you doing?
Captain DA, yeah. Will you save me? Captain DA, I want to have Mraz's baby.
Whoa! Hey now! Did you just say you want to have Mraz's child?
If you beam me up to the mothership and promise me I can sit next to the Pope and Captain Kirk, I will have Mraz's baby.
Is that because you find yourself attracted to Mraz?
Mraz is so good to me. He promised to jump on a hovercraft and catch a ride on a drone to come see me.
Do you feel like you get along with Mraz when you call him up and, you talk to him off the air?
He's the smartest guy I know.
Yeah? I don't think you know many smart people, then.
I watch his videos at night when you guys are having that office race and an office relay. He rocks.
Wow, what do you think a Linda and Mraz love child would look like or be like? What type of personality would they have?
A cross between Astro from the Jetsons, and a Powerpuff Girl.
That's pretty good. I'd like to see that love child. All right, we're going to try to set that up for you, Linda.
All righty.
Okay,
thank you. And don't send a doppelganger, send a real Mraz.
All right, we'll do that. Now, if you don't consider yourself fortunate to have just heard that phone call in that exchange and are now swearing on your life. This is the only sports radio show you'll ever need for the rest of your life. I don't know what's wrong. We can't deliver much more. We really can't. Can't deliver much more. On this date in Mothership history, 4 years ago, March the 24th, 2016, Linda in Beaumont claimed she wanted to have Mraz's baby. Mraz, are you feeling warm, perhaps sweaty, perhaps a little flush from having heard that clip yet again?
It's amazing. The one thing I had forgotten about her, maybe didn't realize at the time, was you flat out ask her if she's attracted to me, and she completely dodged the question by just saying I'm good to her. I'm good to her. That has nothing to do with whether you think I got a chiseled body and I'm good looking. She dodged that question.
By the way, this was before you had a child of your own, so if you wanted a baby right before Taylor with Danielle, you had a chance with Linda in Beaumont. You just had to get to Beaumont, Texas for it.
The moment this show's over, I will let Taylor know you could have had another brother or sister that looked like Astro had I just taken Linda up on it. So that was obviously in the cards and clearly not attracted to me.
This date in Mothership history, every single day we dust off the archives for the greatest moments that we have lived through on this date. It's pretty self-explanatory. Now, on this date, 2020, Mraz is battling me on the greatness of Kyle Allen. He was traded to Washington yesterday. I believe Kyle Allen can still have a good career. Mraz has already declared him a bum. Why don't we cue the music and go through his game log from Pro Football Reference? You tell me how Kyle Allen performed last year, and don't tell me he was just dumping the ball off to Christian McCaffrey every down.
Right. Okay, so real quickly, this is without Christian McCaffrey's receiving stats. We agreed that we would take those out. Arizona, 226, 4-0. Four touchdowns,
nice.
Great effort.
Nice.
Houston, 146 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Yeah. Jacksonville, 163 yards, one touchdown, no picks.
Okay.
The Bucs, 201 yards, two TDs, zero INTs.
Whoa, those are big performances.
Oh, yeah, real big with that 200 yards. The 49ers, 120 yards through the ground, zero TDs, three picks. The Titans, 212 yards, one touchdown, one INT.
Okay.
The Packers, that snow game we debated. Now, I think you were right about this one. He had 274 yards with no Christian McCaffrey, one touchdown, one INT.
Huge.
The Falcons, 204 yards, zero TDs, four interceptions.
Okay, not great.
The Saints, 187 yards, two touchdowns, zero picks. Washington, 270 yards,
okay,
two TDs, one INT.
Yeah.
Nice game there. The wheels fall off at the end. Right. Falcons, 209 yards, one TD, two picks. Seahawks, 189 yards, one TD, three picks. So, 12 games, no Christian McCaffrey stats included. He threw for 2,407 yards.
Oh, my goodness!
An average of 200 yards per game minus
nice.
Christian McCaffrey. He threw 15 touchdowns and 15 interceptions, averaging 1.25 TDs per game, 1.25 INTs per game. That, my friend, is the definition of mediocre.
He's an undrafted rookie.
But you can't call
rookie.
Him good. You said the word good.
Yes.
He's not good.
Well, by the definition of what you expect from an undrafted rookie on a team that went, 4-11-1 or something, 5-12, that is a very good rookie season. And,
five,
oh, by the way.
5-12, you're used to the new schedule already.
By the way, that's without Christian McCaffrey. He shouldn't be penalized for having Christian McCaffrey on his team, on his offense. That's all stats without McCaffrey.
Right, his stats would be a little more enhanced with McCaffrey.
Oh,
you're absolutely
you think?
Right.
A lot more enhanced.
McCaffrey's great.
You know, I think you're really shortchanging Kyle Allen. I think that's it. That's a young man after a rookie season that deserves to get another look, at least as a backup somewhere in the NFL. And, you know, in a pinch, maybe he steps in and can do some things. Like I said, if he has a McCown-type career, then a Hoyer-type career, then more power to you.
He will never win another game as a starting quarterback.
No,
in the NFL.
That's not true.
I promise you that.
No
promise
way.
You that. I will buy breakfast. I will buy breakfast for the staff the next time he wins a game as a starting quarterback.
Okay, well, I can tell you that might happen by week three because they might bench Dwayne Haskins by then. Kyle Allen needs to win a game as a starter at some point of the rest of his career, and breakfast is on Mraz. When we come back, more Madness of March. We revisit the first ever 15 over 2 upset next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.